Well, greetings, everyone. Certainly nice to see all our visitors. Now, I know you didn't come to hear me speak. You came for all the activities that are taking place this weekend. June is a very, very busy month. It's hard to believe we're almost halfway. Well, we are halfway through June already. It's just amazing. There was graduations, which we were excited to be able to attend. Their birthdays, and many individuals had birthdays in June, and another year older. And then there's anniversaries that are coming, celebration of anniversaries. And then tomorrow there's Father's Day. And that's what I thought I'd talk about today, Father's Day. When you hear the word father, what comes to your mind? I'll think about that for a couple of seconds here. Father, to many individuals, there's lots of different ideas. There's lots of different concepts, some good, some very sad. And we live in a fatherless society. So I'm going to talk a little bit of sadness at first, but then I want to end on a very positive note. As we look around this world, there is many, many children that are growing up without a father. And they're suffering from anger, frustration, bitterness, feeling like they failed the family. And it's pretty sad society that we have that is faced and classified as a fatherless society. And yet God never intended this to be a fatherless society. His kingdom that's coming will restore that relationship. That individuals who no longer have a father or find themselves in the category of a fatherless society will be restored. So it's a wonderful picture of God's plan, a restoration, a restoring, a relationship that is broken. And Satan is pleased to be able to destroy the family. He rejoices every opportunity he can when he can destroy the family. He seeks out opportunities to find ways to cause fathers to fail their responsibility, to take the responsibility of raising their children. Many of them don't even want to follow through. They drop out, they divorce, and they separate. It's a real sad society that we have out there. Now, I don't want to continue on a negative note here, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention that we do live in a fatherless society. But God never intended it to be that way. So I wanted to talk about our Heavenly Father, because sometimes when we think about our physical father, we're disappointed. We see the failures that our physical fathers have done, and we can be very, very disappointed. But what I want to encourage you is to look to your Heavenly Father. Now, Father's Day is centered around the physical father, but I want to emphasize also including our spiritual Heavenly Father, because he is the one that we should truly look to as what a father really is. So when we think about the word father, what comes to your mind? I hope you think about the Heavenly Father. We're going to talk a little bit of some of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. He's an awesome God. He's a truly awesome God. And that Father is looking down and watching and observing us every day. And he's reaching out to us. And there are things that we can do to honor our Father, to let him know how much we truly care. But let's look at some of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. I think it's going to be encouraging. I know it is for me, because not all of us lived in a pleasant society. Even though we may have had fathers that were part of our family, it wasn't always a positive thing. But yet our Heavenly Father is a positive thing. It's something that we need to think about, encourage each other, and give God the credit. I appreciate the song that we sang, "To God Be the Glory," because that just encourages me to keep that in mind. Keep God give the glory. And I think one of the first things we think about when we think about our Heavenly Father, one of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father, is God is love. That's over in 1 John chapter 4. You may turn there. 1 John chapter 4. And that lays the whole foundation of what a father, a true father, is all about. 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. He that loves not don't know God. So somebody who doesn't love doesn't know God. It says, for in God is love. And that's the characteristic of our loving Father, our Heavenly Father, is He's love. He loves us and He cares about us. And that's a unique characteristic that each and every one of us can fully appreciate. There are many children growing up without love. And they just don't understand the physical father's lack of love. And many times that leads to the lack of a spiritual understanding of the love of our Heavenly Father. But we can fully understand that God is love. Let's drop down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. So we've been blessed to have the opportunity of knowing how much God truly loves us, it says here. For God is love, and that he dwells in love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. So it's God dwelling in us that gives us that love, that reassurance that many people are lacking. And that's a tremendous blessing. That's something we should hold very dearly, that our loving Father loves us that much, that he cares about us. He provides wonderful characteristics for us as fathers to emulate. And I think that's something that as we realize what our Heavenly Father's characteristic is, we too, as physical fathers, can take these examples, these traits, and do the same for our families. And if we would do these traits, we would have strong families, and Satan would not win the battle. He'd lose the battle of disrupting and tearing families down. So it's a positive thing, starting out with God's love for each and every one of us. And that's something we can hold very, very dearly. That God loves us and he wants us in his kingdom. And in the kingdom, when it is established, he will express his love to all the little ones that don't have the father, the fatherless society that's out there. But they will have an opportunity to know and have the love that God has for them. Let's look at a few other characteristics of God. I think as we think about our Heavenly Father, I emphasize God's love first. Because I think love covers a multitude of sin. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that refers to God's love. You could use just a complete sermon just on the love of God. But with the points that I wanted to emphasize, we're going to move along to some of the other characteristics. I want to encourage each and every one of you, towards the end of my sermon, to think about the word Father. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later, about how some of these characteristics fit into the word Father. It's pretty neat how God is so unique, and he uses the term Father, Daddy, Abba. There's so many different terms in the Bible that refers to our loving Heavenly Father that we can be researching, drawing close to our Heavenly Father, and express our love to him. Not just on Father's Day. I picked Father's Day because it's an important time of the year, but it reminds us of not only our Heavenly Father, but our physical fathers, but throughout the year. The study, the traits of our God, to ask God to help reveal him to you so that you can know him, come to know him fully. I'm just going to touch the tip of the iceberg of all these characteristics that our loving God has, and you can study on your own and learn more of what our loving God is all about and his kingdom that's coming. So let's move on to a couple more characteristics of our loving Father. Over in Luke, we'll look at Luke chapter 15. I'm just going to refer a little bit here. I'm not going to read the whole account because I think this is something that we can look at and evaluate on our own. Luke chapter 15, and I'll start in verse 3. And he spoke this parable unto them. And I found that very, very interesting that Lee covered this very well in reference to having 100 sheep and losing them. Does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost. One of the characteristics of our loving Father, and I appreciated Lee's sermonette, is that he never gives up on us. Our Heavenly Father never gives up on us. Many have turned away from God, unfortunately, over the years, and you can continue to read the account all the way up to verse 32 about the lost sheep and how he restores. But our Heavenly Father never gives up on anyone. As long as a person is willing to repent and change and come back, he'll open them up with full arm, grabbing them back with rejoice and rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. These are encouraging words to all individuals we've known. Sometimes people along the way have given up on their relationship with their Heavenly Father. But brethren, we can be encouraged that he never gives up on any of us. And whether we struggle in life, and times will come, there'll be difficult times ahead, we can be encouraged to say that God never will give up on any of us. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He will never, ever forsake us and cast us aside. Only we can do that. We cast ourselves aside when we turn away from God and refuse to come back to him. He opens his arms up, reaching out to us. He watches, he observes, he sees us. He knows we're frail. He knows we're weak. We have weaknesses. But he never gives up on us. And that's a fantastic trait that our Heavenly Father has. He will never, ever give up on us. Over in Hebrews chapter 13 is another characteristic trait that I think, again, kind of ties in with never giving up on us. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll look at verse 5. Again, he emphasizes here, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such of the things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he'll stand behind us through the good times and through the bad times. Even when we struggle in life and we sometimes do mistakes, he'll never leave us. He'll never cast us aside. He'll always be with us. So he'll stand with us through the good times, and he'll stand with us through the bad times. And that's one of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. He's always there. He's always reliable. He's very faithful and trusting, and being able to know that even when we struggle, he's there. He's for us. He's rooting us on. Come on, come back, come back. For those who came back, it's such a rejoicing. Such a rejoicing, not only for the Heavenly Father, but for the families. When they see individuals come back on that. This is something that sometimes people don't even think about, but over in Galatians chapter 3, and I think this sometimes we get too wrapped up in ourselves and we think that we're the chosen ones, we're the blessed ones to know the truth of God. And we don't think about the overall plan of God. And this is part of God's plan of what he has for us. And that he gives all races and sexes equal opportunity. Now, each one in their order, we understand. Some are called and some are called later. But he doesn't restrict anybody from being in the kingdom of God. The only ones that will not be in the kingdom of God are the evil ones that are sin and refuse to repent and change. They're the only ones that won't be in the kingdom of God. If a person is truly repentant, God welcomes them into his family, and he encourages them. But over in Galatians chapter 3, we'll look at verse 28. And here we see, there's no separation, brethren. God doesn't choose certain ones and say, those are the only ones in the family of God. Some people feel that way. Some people feel they're the only chosen ones, and nobody else will be in the kingdom of God. Everyone else is going to be in the lake of the sin, the lake of fire, and they can burn up. But it doesn't say that here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. So everyone will have the opportunity. It doesn't matter who they are. Now, whether they choose to obey or not and choose to be in the kingdom of God, that is their choice. God doesn't force the kingdom on them. But he says, everyone is welcome. Everyone has the opportunity to be in his kingdom. So that's another wonderful characteristic trait. He doesn't prioritize anyone. He doesn't say, this is my favorite and they're the only ones. He says, all will have the opportunity to be in the kingdom. So that's a unique characteristic that our loving Father, Heavenly Father, plans and looks forward to. Looks forward to the fulfillment of that kingdom when everyone will have the opportunity to be in it. What a wonderful characteristic trait of our Heavenly Father. And of course, one of the big ones is over in John chapter 14. Over in John chapter 14. And we'll look at verse 13. This is just one of the basics, and it, you just take it for granted sometimes, this situation. He's available to us through prayer. Now, anybody who has a close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father knows that is our strength. And that is what enables us to be able to stay close to our Heavenly Father and fully appreciate our Heavenly Father. Verse 13 we'll look at. And whosoever shall ask in and whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do. Our Heavenly Father wants to bless us. He wants to give us all the wonderful opportunities that we enjoy. And he does fulfill that. But it's on his terms. We do have to pray and ask God, and he'll fulfill it according to his will, that the Heavenly Father may glorify in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I had one person tell me one time, well, see, that's what it's all about. All you got to do is ask, and God will give it to you. And I said, well, no, not really. He said, yeah, it says it right there in the Bible. If you ask, you're going to get it. I said, well, did you ask for a Cadillac? No. Well, ask for a Cadillac and see if you get it. Well, he surprised me. He got a Cadillac, but he did it himself. God didn't give him the Cadillac. He did it himself. So when he came back with the Cadillac and said, see, I got a Cadillac. I said, well, did God give it to you? He said, well, yeah. He said, I asked for it, and I got my money together, and I bought it. I said, well, maybe God had something else intended. You chose to get the Cadillac. You had Cadillac in your mind. Maybe God had a Mercedes-Benz in mind. Maybe he was going to give you that. Or maybe a Honda or another vehicle. But you were set in your mind that you wanted the Cadillac, and he allowed you to have it because you chose it yourself. But God does intend to give us the good things in life. That is one of the wonderful blessings. And when we pray to God, he fulfills our prayers in many, many ways. Now, sometimes we pray and the answer is not right away, and people get discouraged. They get very discouraged, and sometimes they even give up on God. They say, well, see, God didn't hear my prayer. He didn't fulfill that need that I had. God does it on his terms, and sometimes I think he watches our attitudes, and he sees whether we will be faithful to him through the good times and the bad times, brethren. There will be tough times, and sometimes we wonder, is God listening? Is he hearing? I'm suffering. Why doesn't he answer my prayers? But God does hear, and he does answer our prayers. He does it on his terms. Not everybody receives the promise immediately. The promise is the kingdom of God. That's the greatest promise that he does promise, and everybody will have the opportunity to receive that. But till we get to the kingdom of God, we don't get there immediately. It's a path. It's a journey. It's, as we're traveling on the straight and narrow path of life, we will experience many things, and God will hear prayers, and he will answer prayers. But sometimes he waits, and that's where we have to trust in God for his wisdom, for his knowledge, because he knows what's best for us. He's not going to give us something that hurts us. If we buy a Mercedes-Benz and we go out and crash it, what do we gain there? Nothing. God sometimes waits for giving us the blessings and hearing our prayers. But the key to the characteristic of our God is he hears our prayers. He doesn't neglect us. He doesn't just say, okay, well, I don't got time. Just keep letting him pray, and then eventually I'll listen to him. No, he's there all the time. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to stay close to him. And that's how we do fully appreciate the greatness of our God, is he does hear our prayers. He doesn't always answer it the way we want it to be answered, but he will answer our prayers according to his will. And that should be encouraging, to know that our God does what's best for us, not what's best in our minds, but what's best for us in the long run. So he does answer and is available to us through prayer. He values us greatly. He calls us his children, his sons of God. That's a wonderful blessing. To be called the child of God is a tremendous blessing, to know that he fully values us, and he looks forward to us being in his kingdom. You can read that over in Luke chapter 7, verse 28. I'll just refer to that. He doesn't condemn us. Some people feel once they've sinned, that's it. They're cut off from God, as I mentioned earlier. He doesn't give up on anybody, so he doesn't condemn any of us. That's over in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He values our growth. Our Heavenly Father values our growth. He gives us what we need to grow spiritually. And that is the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and we can produce fruit. That fruit is in Galatians 5:22. I'm going to refer just to that. Again, you can write that scripture down. That fruit of the Holy Spirit shows us the characteristics of our loving Heavenly Father. Those fruits in Galatians 5:22 is what God is all about. God is Spirit, and he has those characteristics. They're all good fruits, and they all will enable us to draw close to him, to become like him, which is what he wants us. He wants us to grow in character and knowledge and understanding of his ways, and then we can become like him by having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and producing the fruit that he wants us to produce. Again, another wonderful characteristic of our loving Father. There's so many characteristics that we can refer to. I'm going to continue with some more that are encouraging for all of us. And as we think about Father's Day tomorrow, let's not just concentrate on our physical fathers, for those who are still alive. I know sometimes we lose our parents. And so Father's Day can be a very difficult time for some people. But think about the wonderful memories of your physical father, if your father has passed away, and rejoice with that. But you still have a spiritual father that you can give praise and honor and thanks for. And that's, we're going to continue talking about our spiritual father for Father's Day here. I think one of the most encouraging scriptures in the Bible is over in 2 Corinthians. I'll get you back in Chronicles and you'll be saying, where are you at? 2 Corinthians, I will get you over in the other. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's two books of Corinthians. It's chapter 2. Actually, chapter 1. Get my thoughts together here. Our God is a loving God. He cares about us very much. He knows that at times we suffer and we have heartaches. In life, life is not easy. It was never intended to be a permanent state of condition. Our kingdom, eternal life, is our permanent state of condition that we're looking forward to. And when we deal with situations that are hurtful and that are painful, God provides his Holy Spirit of comfort. It's a tremendous characteristic of our loving God, his comfort. So over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll look at verse 3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And he truly is a God of comfort. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, and we will have tribulations, brethren. There's no way around it. It's an opportunity for spiritual growth. God will allow tribulations to give us spiritual growth, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort therein, we ourselves are comforted of God. So that's a wonderful characteristic that we can pass on to others. As God comforts us and gives us that encouragement and help, that gives us what we need in times of trouble, we can encourage others. We know of individuals that are hurting. We know of people that are struggling. And we can comfort them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of God's characteristics, is comforting. He's like a gentle, loving peaceful individual reaching out to pat you on the back and say, it's okay, I'm here. If you need me, call upon me. And we can do the same. We can pass that on to others. When we see somebody hurting, we can go to them and say, it's okay, we're here, whatever we can do to help you, we'll be there for you. And so the characteristic of comfort is one of my favorite scriptures in reference to our God, because he is a God of comfort. And we will all face difficult times. We will face trials. We will face difficulties in life. As we grow older, our health will fail. And it's the cycle of life. It's not a pleasant cycle that we get to the latter stage of our lives. But God understands. It's an opportunity for him to comfort us and say, the kingdom's coming. You'll soon be in it. And we understand when we come down to the end days of our lives that we realize that's what it's all about. The physical life is a learning process of growing and developing these characteristics of God. But physical is temporary. And that's not designed to be permanent. Eternal life will be the permanent time, and the comforts of knowing that we'll have the opportunity to see God face to face and talk to him and say, God, I remember when you helped me here. I remember when I prayed to you and you answered my prayers. It'll be a wonderful, comforting time for all those who don't have a father and didn't have anybody they could go to and ask for comfort. But the opportunity will be for everyone. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to know that our God comforts us now when we're dealing with difficult times and situations. Another big one, he cleanses us from sin. He forgives our sins, which through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, he showed his love for each and every one of us. We all sinned. We all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. And we all earned the penalty of death. But God allowed his son to be our sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven and we can be part of his kingdom. That's another emphasis of his great love for us, that he was willing to sacrifice his son. Think about that as a father. I have a son. Many of us have sons. Think about giving up and sacrificing your son for the forgiveness of sins of others who have spit on you, who have lied and cheated and stolen, done all kinds of evil transactions. And yet, because of the love that our Father has, he was willing to sacrifice his son. And Jesus Christ fulfilled his role. He, out of his love, he was willing to sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's just a wonderful characteristic of our Heavenly Father. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice of his son. It's because of his great love. And he knew that our sins had to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he allowed his son to be sacrificed. And that's a tremendous characteristic of our loving Father. He would not give up anything else than his great son. What a tremendous sacrifice that he made, a tremendous sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, all because he loved us and he wanted our sins forgiven so that we can be cleansed and be in his kingdom. Again, a wonderful characteristic. He's for us. He's rooting for us. Every opportunity we make and accomplishments, he's saying, yes, you did it. He's pleased. Up in heaven, we can read about that. Rooting for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. That he's encouraging. In the Old Testament, it says that he's watching and he's waiting to hear from us. All the good times and the good things that we accomplished, he's rooting for us. And he wants us in his kingdom. And so that's another characteristic. He's very positive. And he knows that we can be in his kingdom. He never gives up on us. Over in Romans chapter 8, while we're talking about Romans chapter 8, we'll look at verse 38 and 39. Now this talks about persecution sometimes and difficulties, but it's very positive here. I'm going to read the verse 38 of Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So there's nothing that can overtake us? If God is for us, who can be against us, it says in the Bible. And that's a true statement. If God is for us, who can be against us? Which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He's always available to us. He never is so far away, he doesn't have time for us. He's always available whenever we need to reach out to God. He's a God of hope. He hopes that each and every one of us will be in his kingdom. And we realize there will be some not in the kingdom of God, and it's their choice. But God's hope is for every one of us to be in his kingdom. So he's a God of hope. He's a God of encouragement. He's a God of love. He helps us when we are tempted by Satan the devil. He gives us the Holy Spirit that enables us to resist the temptations. If we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. We're told over in James. And that's true. If we hold on to God and we trust in him, there's no temptation that we will be falling for, because we will use God's Holy Spirit to resist the devil's temptations, that will help us and strengthen us to resist the temptations. And when Satan fails, he leaves. There's examples in the Bible of he tried to take Christ and caused Christ to sin, and he failed, and he fled, he left. So the instruction there is there's no temptation that will overtake us if we stay close to God and we use his Holy Spirit to resist the temptations. So God provides a way for us to resist temptations. That's, again, a characteristic of God. God is pure. He doesn't sin. He doesn't have any weak characteristics that we humans have. But we're not going to stay weak. God doesn't want us to stay in a weak state of condition. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. And he will help us to resist the temptation. He'll provide a way to escape temptation, I mentioned. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll look at verse 13. And here again, it's talking about temptation. It says, "There has no temptation taken you but as such is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able." So he's not going to let you fail. He's not going to let some temptation overcome you and cause you to fail. He said, "He will suffer you from temptation above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." He says he'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And what is that? By resisting the devil, by resisting the temptation, by using his Holy Spirit to give us the strength to resist, to say, "No, I will not do this." And that will give us what we need. He provides that for us. So he does provide a way to resist temptation and to help us overcome temptations. And that's, again, his Holy Spirit. Those are some of the characteristics. Looking at the time, I've got some other things I want to talk about in reference to our loving God. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There are many, I'm sure, you thought about and you're thinking as we're talking about Father. I'm going to give you an assignment here, and I'll show you what I did. I wrote the word Father. F-A-T-H-E-R. I want you to do that. Write down the line. F-A-T-H-E-R. Now, with that in mind, this is not a complete list. It's not even hardly a drop in the bucket. But it's encouraging. It's encouraging to think about this. And I want you to think about it on your own terms. This is just something I put together myself, but I want you to think about it. As we're thinking about Father's Day, think about the word Father, F-A-T-H-E-R. And think about how that associates with our Heavenly Father. So to begin with, F, he's faithful in fulfilling his promises to us. He's faithful in in all the aspects of his kingdom that's coming. He's faithful in helping us overcome whatever we face in life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our God is a faithful God, a wonderful, loving, faithful God. He will never turn away from us unless we sin and refuse to repent and change. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God called us. He wants us to be faithful also, to continue to endure. But F is faithful in fulfilling his promises that he has for us. A, he's always available to us. Our loving God doesn't turn his back on us and walk away from us, never to be seen again. He's always available. He's just waiting for us to come back to him and cry out to him and let him know that we need him and he needs us in his kingdom. So he's always available to us. Over in Romans chapter 8, we'll look at verse 38 and 39. We did refer to that a little bit earlier, but again, I'm going to refer to it again. Romans 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, or things to come." He's always available for us. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature that will be able to separate us from the love of our God." He'll always be there for us. T, he takes time to know us. Our Heavenly Father knows us personally. He knows what we're made up of. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he loves us no matter what, because he takes the time to know us. Over in Matthew, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to refer again, verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink or for what your body needs or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father," our heavenly Father, he takes time to know what our needs are. He takes the time to fulfill our needs. It says, "Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" So he does take the time to know each and every one of us personally. What a wonderful characteristic of our loving Father. To the creator, the sustainer of this world and the universe, reaches down to a little pivotal spot and calls us out of this world and gives us his Holy Spirit and takes the time to get to know us. What a wonderful, wonderful loving God that we serve. H, and again, very simple, God hears our prayers. He is a God who wants to hear from you, from the good times and the bad times. John chapter 14, we referred to that earlier, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. "Whatsoever shall you ask in my name," I mentioned about, "that the Father will glorify in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I referred to that. He wants to hear from us because he could fulfill that hearing knowing that he knows us. And that if individuals didn't even go to him in prayer, he could still fulfill that. But he wants to hear from us, and he will hear our prayers. It's the input to one another. It's the closeness that we draw close to God. When we cry out to God, when we're suffering, we're hurting, we're saying, "God, I need help here. Please help me." He hears that. He knows what our needs are. And he takes the time to know us. And he's always available. And he is faithful. And that's our loving God. That's what we serve. We serve the wonderful God who, he enjoys his children. We are his children, and he enjoys each and every one of us. It's a wonderful blessing to know our Heavenly Father looks forward to the time when we will all be together, his children. He will gather together, and we will all be together in his kingdom. He's looking forward to it. He enjoys his children. He enjoys each and every one of you. You are his children, and he is pleased, very pleased with each and every one of us. 1 John 3. We'll look at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are his children. What a wonderful blessing. Therefore the world knows not us, because it knows not him. But we are called the sons of God, the children of God. And he is enjoying each and every one of us as we draw close to him and we use the faith. We're always trusting in him, taking the time for him to know us and we to know him as we're taking that time. And he's hearing our prayers and we're hearing from God as we read the scriptures. We hear from God speaking to us and he enjoys. And I hope you enjoy our Heavenly Father as well. Not just to take him for granted. It's easy to take him for granted because he provides all these wonderful blessings for us. And sometimes we don't fully enjoy all the wonderful things that our Heavenly Father does for us. R, and that's rejoicing in his kingdom. Both him and us will be rejoicing in his kingdom. We will all have the opportunity to see God face to face, be encouraged, and know that we can talk to him directly because we can't do it now. We can only do it through the prayers. But we can actually see him face to face in the kingdom of God. And we'll be able to say, God, I remember when you did that. And I remember calling out to you and you answered the prayer. It's interesting, you said about losing something. Now, this is something that just happened to me recently. And I rejoiced too. I had lost the car key. And I was thinking, where did I put this car key? It was the only key I had for the vehicle. I'm thinking, did I leave it in the truck? Did I leave it in the floor? Did I leave it in the store? I looked and I went home and I said to Lynn, I said, I don't know where the key is. I said, I can't find it. So she said, I'm going to go back over to the store and try to find it. So I was praying about it and asking God, please help us find it. It's the only key I have. I need that key. Please help me find it. She went, she said, I know. She came back, she said, I know. I looked around. It's not in the store. It's not in the truck. It's not on the anywhere I found. So the next day, after praying about it all night long from time to time, asking God to help me find this key, I went back to the store and I'm looking around and it had rained the night before, so everything was kind of wet. And I went in the store, looked around, no, key wasn't there. I looked in the vehicle and it wasn't there. And I looked where I parked my other vehicle and there was the key laying on the ground. So I'm rejoicing, I'm praising God, I'm thanking him and telling him how much I appreciate and fulfilling that answer prayer. I get in the car and I'm looking around, where's the key? I lost the key again. So I think God was kind of humbling me a little bit there and saying, you know, I gave you the key, now hold on to it. Well, I lost it again. So I got out of the car, I looked around, there's the key right by, it fell out of my pocket. So it was a time of rejoicing and it's time to give God praise to realize that he does want us to rejoice in many, many ways and it is. It is very exuberant, and it brings out some of the best in you when you realize how great our rejoicing will be when we will all be together in the kingdom of God, and that God is looking forward to that. So, brethren, I gave you that assignment, F-A-T-H-E-R. I hope the children took note to that and that they do that as well. I started with my sermon about we live in a fatherless society, and it's not going to get better till the kingdom of God is here. The world's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to get sadder and sadder. Drugs have killed many people, left children fatherless, children bitter, angry, and frustrated. But we are all going to have the opportunity in the kingdom of God of rejoicing with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is a God of many, many traits. He has all kinds of characteristics. He's a God of love. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of forgiving of our sins. He's a God who's powerful through the Holy Spirit, enables us to resist temptations. He's a God who cares for us. He's a God who wants us in his kingdom, who comforts us every opportunity he can. He's for us. He wants us in his kingdom, and he's doing everything he can for his part. Brethren, as we rejoice on Father's Day, let's not just make it the physical fathers and forget about our Heavenly Father, but let's include our physical fathers, those who are alive. Let's give them the praise and the honor of Father's Day. It is a time of showing honor and respect to our fathers. But let's not forget our Heavenly Father. And when the kingdom of God is fulfilled, we will all rejoice in his kingdom, and we will all once again have a Heavenly Father. Thank you.